Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. Look at chapter 2 and then at chapter 3. 2 Peter. We've seen much about the principle of the rapture in the Bible, how God separates the righteous from judgment. Lot and believing family were separated from Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah and his family were separated from the world by the ark. God separates the righteous from judgment. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Turn over, if you will, chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Turn back in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians with me, if you would. We've been studying the second coming of Christ on Sunday nights for about a year or so. And seeing the difference between the second advent, when Christ comes back to the earth and fights the battle of Armageddon, and the coming in the clouds, which we call the rapture, where he takes the believers to heaven to be with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Thanks be to God, we're delivered from the wrath to come. Now look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians and verse number 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." In the word salvation, we have the emphasis of not only being saved from the penalty of our sins, but also delivered from the presence of sin. The completion of salvation is our removal from this earth to a new body and to be with the Lord. So we're delivered from the wrath to come. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10, the church at Philadelphia was promised, because they had kept the word of his patience, he would keep them from the hour of temptation which would come upon all the world. We believe that's a reference to the true church being delivered from the wrath that will come upon the earth to test those who dwell upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, as we think about Easter next Sunday, the celebration of it, we think about the Lord's Supper in that last week of his life before going to the cross. And so we celebrate that tonight. Pray that you'll bless in it. Help us truly to confess our sins to you and seek cleansing and draw close to the Lord and observe the Lord's table. Now we ask you to bless the message, and we pray that you'll give us good understanding of the distinctions of biblical prophecy. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now these who turned to God from idolatry in Thessalonica are promised deliverance from the wrath to come. Believers are waiting for the Lord Jesus to come and take us to heaven. And it hasn't been immediate, but it's always been imminent. The Lord could come at any time. Now there's a day coming of judgment after that where the wrath of God will be poured out on the earth. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the tribulation. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called Daniel's 70th week. It's called the time of abomination. There are a lot of expressions to describe that day of wrath that we have been delivered from. The day of wrath is an emphasis on the greatness of the peril. It's a mighty act of power that the Lord has delivered us from that judgment that is set in God's mind that will come upon this earth. Wrath is a particular event. This wrath is referred to as eschatological wrath. Wrath in the future things, in the scheme of God's prophecy, the time of wrath that will come. In 1 Thessalonians, in verse chapter 5, I want you to look from verse 1 through 9. He said to them, "But the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need, I write unto you." Now remember, he's just written chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, about what we call the rapture, the taking away of the saved to heaven to be with God forevermore, which is a comfort to the believers. And now he says, "But the times and seasons you have no need, I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night." And that's not referring to the rapture, that's referring to his second coming when he fights the battle of Armageddon, when he brings judgment upon Satan and the false prophet and the beast and all that sort of thing. But these people didn't understand the rapture because it was not taught in the Old Testament. And he was giving them understanding of where their dead loved ones who were believers had gone, and they would go with them when the rapture comes to heaven and we receive our new bodies. They didn't understand the rapture. He had to write unto them and explain that to them in verse 13 through 18. But he said, you already know about the day of wrath that's coming. You know about the day of the Lord. You know that time has been taught in the Old Testament prophecies about the judgment of God all along. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this time of wrath, the people understood. The wrath of hell, we understand, we've been delivered from by Jesus Christ. If you're saved, we're not going to be concerned about going to hell. We just need to be concerned about pleasing the Lord and being rewarded by the Lord. We've been delivered from hell. Now, his coming to deliver us from the wrath to be poured out at the tribulation will be the rapture. He'll take us to heaven before the tribulation period begins here on the earth. In Revelation chapter 6 through 19, the Bible describes all of the things that will happen during the judgment of God in the tribulation. Christ suffered wrath in our place. It's a vicarious substitutionary death where he died in our place. He took the punishment of God for our sin upon himself so that we don't have to take that punishment, and we've been delivered from that. But the unsaved are facing hell. They're facing the judgment of God. They're facing the wrath of God that will be poured out. That's why it's important that we seek to reach as many people as we can while we have the opportunity. Once we go to heaven to be with the Lord, our job's over. We won't be winning any souls after that. The Lord's not going to knock on your door one day and say, hey, call all your friends and family members and be sure they're saved because I'm coming tomorrow to get everybody. That's not going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. The Bible says, boom, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to heaven to be with the Lord. And it's too late at that time to do anything about it. And secondly, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-9, the passage comes on the heels of chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And he says, but the times and seasons. There's a new topic in chapter 5, but it is a related topic. It deals with the Lord's coming in wrath, not his coming for believers to take them to heaven. Rapture is followed by the day of the Lord in chronological order. The believers lack that information because the rapture and the church were mysteries in the Old Testament. This wasn't revealed to them. In type, people were delivered from judgment, but it was not explained like we have it explained in the New Testament time. Now we can be fully aware about the day of the Lord coming. There are two groups addressed in that passage of Scripture, believers and unbelievers. If you're a believer, you're not in darkness. But those in darkness will be overtaken. He will come upon them who are unaware. Those are the unbelievers. We know that we're to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to be looking for His coming. We're to know about His coming. We even know about what's going to happen after His coming. New heavens and a new earth in the future where we look forward to living with the Lord. Therefore, what kind of people should we be? We should be busy serving Him and living for Him. But the unbelievers, they'll be overtaken. He will come upon them unaware because they're living in darkness. But you're not in darkness if you know Christ as your Savior. He's the light of life and the light of men, and He saved you from your sins. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We saw that this morning. And God has not destined His beloved, the church, His bride, to go through wrath. He will deliver us from wrath that will come upon the earth. Salvation, deliverance, heaven, separation from sins and penalty and wrath are all a part of the benefit we have in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be in His presence when the judgment comes upon the earth. God's going to take us out before He brings judgment. And there are many, many reasons and explanations for that. Revelation 3:10, thirdly, because you've kept my word, I'll keep you from the world's appointment with the day of wrath, the hour of temptation that will come upon all the earth. God will take out His vengeance on sin, upon all the Christ rejectors, on those who hate the nation of Israel and seek to destroy it. All those nations over there we see now with caught up in Islam, that if they agree on anything as a people, the Iranians and the Iraqis are the Persians and the Medes of the past, and if they agree on anything, it's that they hate the Jews and they hate America. And the day of their reckoning is coming. Now, they could be saved if they turn to the Lord. And a few here and there have, you know. But many of them are coming to America and they want to destroy America. Just like they make it very clear. The only thing they want to hear about Israel, they want it pushed into the sea and annihilated. And worse than being humans related to us in the flesh, those are their cousins over there. They're all descendants of Abraham. And yet they hate the Jewish nation, and the day of their wrath is coming. Now, God's promised to keep us from the hour of temptation. Not through the hour of temptation, but from the hour of temptation. A period comes on the earth, and these are earth dwellers. Those people of the world that live in this world, live for this world, and they have not received Christ as their Savior, they will be caught up in the judgment. We're not in any part of the hour of testing. We're kept from it. Ryrie wrote that the purpose in a test is to prepare, to get ready for it. And this test will deal with the nation of Israel. God will use the tribulation to draw Israel to faith in Jesus Christ and become the witness for Christ that they never were on the earth as a nation. The purpose of the test is for the nations of men that will gather themselves against the nation of Israel in the tribulation period, and judgment will come upon them. The purpose of the test is because Christ has already suffered our test, and their day is coming. He said in Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly." Now, the church is spoken of in the book of Revelation in chapter 1 through 3, 19 times. And then it's not spoken of again until chapter 22 and verse number 16. The absence of the church on earth is consistent with the teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Ryrie spoke about those tests and exams. He said when he was teaching that he would announce a warning. You got exams coming up on this particular week or this particular day. And he said that was a warning for students to study, to be prepared, to be looking. And then those who had an A average were exempt from taking the exam. I think I had that happen one time in high school. And that was in geography. I didn't have to take the exam one time because I had an A. And not any other classes that I remember. But Ryrie did this in seminary. He taught students, and he said if they had an A average, they were exempt from the test. And we're exempt from the test because Christ has already taken the test for us. And he passed 100%. The Father hath approved, shown by the resurrection from the dead. Now the wrath to come. Turn over, if you will, Revelation chapter 6. The wrath to come, Revelation 6. Verse 1 through 8. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, talking about a roll of seals of paper. Each one sealed. They break the seal, they unroll the roll, and read what is therein. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And then the fifth seal, and then the sixth seal. And when the sixth seal is open, then during this seal is the souls of the martyrs in chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. All those who've been killed for their faith. And the sixth seal, a great earthquake, sun and the moon are covered and turned to red and black from the smoke, and stars or meteorites fall to the earth, and the mountains and the islands are moved out of their places, and men will hide in caves and under the rocks, afraid from the fear of the wrath of him that sitteth on the throne, wrath of the Lamb that comes upon them. And when the seventh seal is opened in chapter 8, seven trumpets sound. And when the seventh trumpet sounds, seven vials are poured out upon the earth of the wrath of God. You see, each one of these events has a judgment connected with it, and that's just the beginning. And there's seven, and then there's seven more, and then there's seven more. And there's some parenthetical things in these chapters, but it gives us a brief overview of the judgment of the tribulation and the wrath of God that's poured out, and the consistency of this is brought through to chapter 19. Now, only the pre-tribulation rapture gives the right view of end times, distinguishing Israel from the church, and God's program for each. God's program for Israel and God's program for the church. The pre-tribulation rapture maintains Daniel's 70th week in its time frame. The Bible's clear that 70th week is a week of years or a seven-year period of time. And that seven-year period of time in Daniel is divided into two three-and-a-half-year periods of time. The last 3.5 years is what we call the Great Tribulation, where the horrific judgments will be poured out upon the earth. It's specific to Israel and not the church to go through those things. And all Old Testament passages that deal with the day of the Lord deal with the nation of Israel. The church is not mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures. Revelation 4 through 19, the church is not mentioned on the earth. And pretty clear explanation that we're not here when the wrath of God comes upon the earth. And when Christ returns to the earth, we distinguish by calling that His second advent. Both the rapture and the second advent are a part of the second coming of Christ. He's coming again. He's coming to take us to heaven, and then He's coming back to the earth to fight for the nation of Israel. It will be a judgment on the nations gathered against Israel in that day. They're not gathered against the church. We're with the Lord. Revelation 6:17, the great day of His wrath has come. And the church has the specific promise that we are not appointed to wrath, but we are delivered from it. The church, the message of Christ coming to comfort us and reward us in the rapture to take us to heaven to be with Him. But on the earth, His coming is for a time of judgment. Now, 2 Thessalonians, the Bible speaks of the restrainer. The Holy Spirit restrains evil. The Holy Spirit will always be with the believers. We are sealed until the day of redemption. And that's the redemption of the body. When we go to heaven to be with the Lord, we get a new body. The Holy Spirit is with us. And so His ministry on the earth, He will no longer restrain evil in the tribulation, and the judgments will come as a result. For the rapture, we're to be looking for His coming. We're to be longing for His coming. We're to love His appearing. But the day of the Lord is an unexpected thing upon the unsaved. It catches them unaware, and it will come upon them like birth pangs upon a woman giving birth. We're not to be unaware. We're not to be asleep. We're not to be in darkness. We're not appointed to wrath. We are aware of the times and the seasons. We know about His coming. It won't come upon us like a thief. We are the children of light, and we're not the children of darkness. Therefore, we're to watch and be sober, put on faith and love and the assurance of salvation, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation and deliverance from the wrath to come. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Hold that place, and we'll get prepared for the Lord's Supper, all right? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're thankful that we could gather tonight and again look at the scriptural promises of your coming to take believers to heaven to be with you forevermore. We're so thankful for you dying on the cross and paying for our sins and making a way that we don't have to face the awful wrath that will come upon this earth in the judgment of God. Your wrath came upon the earth before. In the flood, in Noah's day, you destroyed everything upon the earth except Noah and his family. And you cleansed the world and gave them a fresh start. You destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and only Lot and his two daughters made it out alive. You're merciful and gracious. You've provided salvation for us. But you've warned always there's coming a day of wrath and judgment upon the earth. And help us to be not only ready, but to help others to be ready. Help us to be serious about it and believe it and try to reach people so they don't go to hell. Now bless your people tonight. This time of invitation, we pause to repent of our sins, to draw close to the Lord, to confess anything we know that is wrong in our lives, that we might observe the Lord's Supper and partake together as a church body, we pray. We ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have Miss Gwen play a verse of an invitational hymn. If you want to come to the altar to pray, you're welcome to. If you need someone to meet you down front and pray with you or to guide you in a decision, we'll be glad to do that. And then we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11.